Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared, proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Whatever happened to you, whatever changes you've been through, there's a meaning. We are not victims of circumstance. It happens to give us a chance to change, to really grow, and to open, open to
feeling is not who you are. It's something passing through. Spirit is saying, come in. My door has been opened. You're only sin. You didn't know it was those.
I know it will. Wet through an open heart, an open mind. Woo!
Check out this ending.
And open my
heart. Ooh, feel the chills. I can. Ooh, all you gotta do is open, because your parachute is no good if you don't open it up. And that's how your mind is. So if you want to be a compassionate parent, that's what you gotta do. You gotta open up your mind. You gotta open up your heart. You gotta open up. You gotta strip naked. You gotta let go of the old stuff. You just got to say yes to something new, not what you don't know, what's not working, but slow down, life coach Ade, come on. I know you're excited, but slow down. I can't help it. I'm just bubbling up with stuff to share, to teach, to inspire, to expand, to grow. I'm just open, so I can't help what comes out my mouth. When I open my mouth, I just say yes. Ooh, the Agape Choir. And if you don't know, let me tell you a little secret. Come close. I love that song. Actually, it's more than a song. It's a prayer. It's an affirmative prayer. Sorry, I just have to share a secret with my listeners. Yeah. Life is good. It's getting better. So let's start from the beginning, which is now. Now is always the beginning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first, and then tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. 'Cause you're open. You're willing to see differently. This is a platform where change is inspired. So don't worry about what you can't do. Don't know what to do. But you're listening. Oh, you're going to change. Because we're going to breathe in the breath of God. We're going to activate the divinity within you, the spark of divinity within you. That a change would happen in spite of your egoic rambling and monkey mind and all that other stuff. Because that's the intention. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host, the nutty professor, the inspirer, the crazy guy, the, I don't know, call me what you want, as long as it's an expression of love. And even if it isn't, I'm not tripping, because whatever you call me is simply a reflection of your consciousness. So you better be careful what you call me, or you're going to be confessing who you really are. Yes, indeed. Yes, it's time to release. I'm releasing my inner splendor. Can you see my light? Ooh, my light's so bright, I can't see. But I can see clearly, though. Yeah, let me bring Celeste in here. Elder Muti Emily is standing by. We want to talk about compassionate parenting and how we can compassionately parent ourselves and our children. Well, Celeste, you better brace yourself. I don't know if you want to step into this fire that's burning, because it's a fire of transformation. Holy Ghost fire! Celeste! Don't ask.
What you eat today, life coach today? Man, you better pass those Wheaties around. What in the world on a Monday? I love it. Bring it. It's so nice to hear you, life coach today. I don't have to ask you how you're doing. You are beaming like the sunshine. You are. And I'm very excited Muti is with us.
But you know what? I have to, because I listen to this radio station. So, yeah, every now and then I listen to other radio stations. You want to know the name of the radio station?
Please tell me the name. I need to be there.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, you should always listen. It's a radio station called, what's it called? It's got a nice name. What is it? Life Conversations Radio. Yeah, and they always talk about be the change you want to see. So, the first time I heard that, it just set fire through my bones. Be the change you want to see. That's some truth right there. So I said, if I can't come here and be the change I want to see, I just need to give it up. So,
Wait, hold on, listen to this.
Wow.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
See, that's that unboxed fire.
I love it. I want to see more people bubbling up, full of life, and not even knowing if it's Monday, Friday, because Friday is just about a couple of days from Monday. So just be full of yourself. And when people tell you you're full of yourself, you say, you're damn right I am.
That's right. Wait a minute, let me write that down. Okay, but before I write that down, let me say hello to the family and get to your announcement. I wonder if Muti is ready for you. Or the better question is, Are you ready? Are you ready for Muti Emoti? That's the question.
Let me mute. Let me make sure we don't hear it. It's just between you and I, right?
Okay. I'm coming in close.
Yeah, come closer. I want to whisper this. I call her Elder, you know, because that's an affectionate term for me. But she's Muti Emoti now. She's the reason I'm like this. She's so powerful. And she's just inspired me. She came to me in a dream. She said, boy, you better let go of all that stuff and show up. I said, Muti Emoti, you got it. Okay, let's go back. People are listening.
Let me knock this out. I'm about to do that right now because now you got the fire going. Ooh, he's a fire starter. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and Muti/Elder Emoti can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1. If you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. Now, the theme for the month of January is release your inner splendor, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, we'll have producer and writer Tanya Grady for a discussion about the impact of not having a father in your life. Join us for Fatherless Like Me. Then on Wednesday, Life Coach Today is flying solo, and he'll be offering spiritual food to feed your soul to guide you on your path. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassador Affair for the play experience. Have you purposefully loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today is on the last Wednesday of every month. Learn how the unacknowledged truth and your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we go more in-depth with numerology, medicine cards, and tarot. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Day radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for your financial blessings. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Day.
Yes, 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 Celeste, thank you very much. You know, I just had a wonderful idea downloaded through an ASME. You know,
Wow. You
do that so well. I feel like I was listening to the news. You know, we may incorporate the good news on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. You can tell us the good things that are happening that people don't know about. Just think about it. You know, I want to let people know about it. Yeah, just between you and I whispered that, you know, made sure all the listeners
did. Another segment?
I know, right?
Okay.
Work. Well, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I just just kind of had that feeling, you know, you just kind of read, you know, you do the news, good news from Life Conversations Radio. We have some nice music to go, bam, 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 whatever we come up with. And hello, my name is Sarah Morgan. Today we're bringing you the good news. In Philadelphia.
Wow. I'm going to have to find some. So family, since he just did that to me, please send me your good news on Facebook, inbox me, put it on my fan page, because he's not playing, and you are the head of the network. I say yes. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you for saying yes, because God is working through a whole open heart and open mind. Okay, I don't know. I just listen. But it just anyway, I'm excited. Mutti Emily's in the house. And if you listen to the show for the first time and you can't get with it, I can't help you. Just got to let it go. Let it go and surrender and enjoy. Just go ahead, crack a smile. You know you want to. Stop being so serious. You're just going to snap. Allow yourself to relax. Yeah, you're at work. I know. Just relax. It's okay. Go ahead. Just relax. Breathe in and breathe out. Go on. Your life depends on it. Really. just let it go. Let it go. Let me read a little bit about Elder Emily. I'm going to go back and forth between Mutti and Elder, because that's just my name for her. But she is an Elder, and she's Mutti Emily Gunter. This is C.T. James underneath me. Let it go. Just let it go. Relax. All right. Let's see if I can read while you sing. I love this song. But we got stuff to do. Yeah, we'll play you. We'll bring you back later, maybe. We'll bring it back. Yeah, for parents who think they don't have what it takes, let it go. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. We appreciate that prayer. And speaking of Cynthia, her website address is cynthiajames.net. Let it go is the song. And we started the show off with Carly Jackson, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N, reminding us of who we really are, that we are one with the one, and we had the Agape Choir, that God will work through an open heart. And Mutti Emily is definitely open for transformation, for inspiring, and here's a little bit about her. Emily Diane Gunter is the founder of the Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Foundation, the foundation dedicated to bring peace to our world through the personal empowerment and spiritual development of all youth in truth, simplicity, and love. Let that sink in. Mutti Emily is an inspirational keynote speaker, retreat facilitator, educational consultant. She's an author as well and a life coach. Mutti Emily tours officiating over the Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Retreat and Elder Certification Retreat for community interested in starting their own Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Program in schools, churches, and community centers. The foundation of Mutti Emily's work has been the power of your breath for balanced lifelong learning. When you breathe in and breathe out, you get to release all the stuff on your shoulders. Just relax. And we're getting ready to have a conversation about compassionate parenting. And even if you don't have any kids, even if you don't, your kids are grown and left the house, you're still a parent. That's right. You're going to transcend the Western way or Western definition of parents. But just keep listening. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome. She's not a guest. So, she's our elder. She's my friend. She's my sister. She's my mother. She is myself, Elder Mutti Emily Diane Gunter.
Hi,
Mutti Emily, Elder Emily, how are you doing?
I've just enjoyed your show so far. I said, my. I get such a treat every time I'm on here while I'm waiting. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm grateful to have you. I love you so much. I love your energy. I love your voice. The vibratory tone in your voice has a way of just bringing peace. And you are definitely living what you teach, because
thank
I can sense it. And so let's jump into the conversation. We're talking about compassionate parenting. And we got some, you know, steps we want to take people through. But before I do that, I want to ask you this. I want to ask you a question that it's always a brand new question whenever we ask. So the question is, who are you? Who is Muti Emily Diane Gunter?
Isn't that a wonderful question? Because that's part of what I was going to talk about today, and asking your children, you know, first of all, telling your children who you are, and then ask them who they are. And I, Elder Muti Emily, I'm just a loving heart, light, inspired by the loving, nurturing nature of God on earth. It's my choice to be that person that reflects what God feels like in a human body, as it radiates through me, because God comes through me, not from me. And as God radiates through me, I get to allow all the children and everybody I talk to feel what it's like to live in the loving light of God every moment of my life with childlike joy.
Rain over me. I feel like you were just uttering a prayer. And it is, because you're reminding us of who we really are.
Yes.
And yes, you do really allow God to radiate through and as you, and I'm grateful for that. So now let's go a little bit deeper about your work and what you do and how you allow God to show up and inspire others. But before we go ahead, I want to just say this. I want to talk a little bit, but maybe just a definition of rites of passage, because that's the framework of how you express the godness and the goddessness. And listeners, the website address to find out more about Muti Emily's website is rites, ritesofpassageonline.org, ritesofpassageonline.org. So let's just talk a little bit about rites of passage. What is it? What is rites of passage?
Well, rites of passage is a time-honored process that we got from Africa, and we call our rites of passage strain an African-American contemporary rites of passage, but the foundation did come from Africa, where 18 different elders would come together with all the different component parts that make up what does it mean to be a compassionate, loving human being living in a community on earth. And they would steal the children, take them out into the bush, you know, with parents' permission, and they would teach them all these different elements of living, you know, from just how to breathe and how to be, just because to find that just how to be yourself with your own inspired genius that comes through you is huge. Most people have never taken the time to know how special they are with their special talents, and not try to be like no one else, but be themselves. But also taught them how to cook and how to dress, you know, how to take care of children, how to just do everything that it took to be balanced, you know, from having a purpose in their life and knowing that purpose and moving on to how to have a family, how to be for your family, how to have friends and how to embrace those friends to be your extended family, what career or special talents they were going to lend to the community in order to make it, have it be prosperous, as well as how to run a house and be a homemaker and the CEO of your own home, how to be the financial officer and the lead chef and the child care taker, and because mothers and parents who take care of children in their homes, they basically are running a major corporation. And then also, you know, how to eat and how to feed and nurture your family, as well as what it takes to have that spiritual life and connection to the divine in your heart and be in God's heart and breathe the breath of God and basically fly on the wings of God all day long. And then how to communicate all that to the community. Well, we took those tenets and we put them into our Rites of Passage program. And we have the Rites of Passage Youth Empowerment Curriculum That's available on the website as well. And the synopsis is in the book, Super Learning 3000, or the other more spiritual book, which is 13 Golden Keys to Learning, Living with Compassion. And so the rites of passage, once someone takes themselves through this process, or you take your children through this process, you know you're sending out a focused, centered, well-balanced individual into the world.
You know, there's so much in what you shared, and I would allow what you shared with us to just sink in for people, to sink into their souls, into their heart, into their minds. And then, you know, if they have any questions, they can call in 347-426-3346. Because I get inspired and triggered by conversation. I'm a storyteller. I love to hear about life. So there's so much in there, and I want to stay with what we have about compassionate parenting. But we may weave into what, well, of course we're going to. And but I must say that as I listen to you about the whole rites of passage, I think sometimes, I don't want to generalize, but we're missing that element. We're missing that idea, that truth to helping our young people, our children know to find their place in community and not just finding their place in the games or just a school or on there. I mean, and I guess some of them do it through sports, but I think it needs to extend further. But I don't know if we've gone beyond that. But we'll see. We'll see if we keep going in this conversation. Now, you've got things there. You've got some interesting steps or guides that you share with parents about compassionate parenting. And I like this first one. I'm going to let you tell us about it. But what I love about it is because it takes away from what people say, I don't have, I don't know. You saying make a choice. So let's drop down and talk about this guide to compassionate parenting. So the number one guide, the number one truth, idea to step into is what?
Well, is to choose to see yourself as a great parent and your children as talented human beings. But there's a question you must ask yourself before you start. How much guidance do you need to give your child without breaking your child's inner spirit to guide themselves? Like beating, shouting, cursing, yelling and ignoring your children, telling them to shut up, telling them that they're stupid, denying their dreams, you have broken a child's spirit. And it takes a minute, a long time, when you've broken a child's spirit. The child's inner spirit needs peace, imagination, love, nurturing of their special talents and nurturing of their special genius, showing them how the light of God can come through their hearts. But you got to go to your heart before you can get to your child's heart. If you are in a space of upset and you're tired or annoyed and something's bothering you and you show them call your name and you're what? What you've done is you've shut down and broken their spirit. And when you see the hurt look on their face, say, oh, I apologize. That was not for you. I have some things on me. Come here. Let me give you a hug. You know, you must be blessing the children at all times. And knowing that you have the power to come through you to love them forever and as much as they need. The love that comes through you from the divine is endless. You're endlessly streaming this love to them. So choose to see yourself as someone, I'm talking to the parents now, as someone who can allow the loving, nurturing energy of God to come through your heart, through your body, through your arms, out through your hands as you hug your child and send them all this love. It's endless and everybody has enough. So when you see yourself as a well-respected, adored, and honored parent, now it might take a minute for you to see this. We're building memory here. We're building heart here. And it takes 30 days to build this kind of love into your body, if you're consistent. And then you visualize your children as excited, enthusiastic children. And when they're laughing and playing, and let's say they're laughing and playing and hurting somebody while they're doing it, misguided enthusiasm doesn't work. And so you say, okay, it's true.
I like
got
this enthusiasm.
Yes.
That's he goes, wow!
That'll hurt somebody. And so you say, let me show you how to be more compassionate and kinder to your brother or your sister or your friend, whoever they were enthusiastically beating up, you know? And then you want to hear the children start to talk about as you breathe and relax and say, come here, I need a hug. Sometimes it's better to get a hug. You say, give me a hug. They're like, no. You say, mommy needs a hug or daddy needs a hug or auntie needs a hug. And you say, can you ask? Ask for a hug, not tell them. Can you? Because I had a granddaughter who taught me that. She said, when I told her, give me a hug, she's like, no. And then I would settle down and I'd remember my own teaching. And I'd say, can I have a hug? And she was like, sure. And there she was. Just give me the most wonderful hugs. So ask. These children who are coming into us today, they're coming with a lot of intelligence. They're coming with a lot of heart, a lot of information for us. And it's okay for us to ask them to love us and to love us more and to give her a hug. So when you see yourself as a respected and adored and honored parent, and you visualize, you know, that your child is excited and enthusiastically happy about being your child, and that every time they do something with their genius or their special talents, you're just the biggest cheerleader endlessly. 1,000 times you tell your child over and over again, that is amazing. How did you do that? Can you show me how you did that? Can you play that again for me? And then, you know, then they'll finally say to you, oh, that's enough. Thank you. And off they go to play. You know, we can't play the game of life for our children, but we can be their coaches and their anchor and their cheerleader. You know, so we show up for their games, we cheer for them, we dance, we hop around. We be very animated. Children love that when we are not just ho-hum. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. It's as bad as when your children come in from school and say, how was your day? And they're like, good. I do not accept that answer. My next thing is, well, how was it good? And what did you learn? Nothing, nothing. You spent your whole day and nothing went in? Oh, well, let's investigate that. What was the first thing you did? Well, in a minute, they're telling about all the exciting things they did learn and that they did realize that, yeah, I did have a good time today. And tomorrow they'll pay more attention because they know you're going to ask again and you're not going to let them get away with just good.
Indeed.
Yes.
And that empowers them to think rather than just accepting the sort of good, because we say it's good, but what? How does it look like? You know, that I've always said parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice.
Yeah.
The highest form. I mean, yes, you can spend 40 days in a cave or on a mountain all by yourself, no food, no water, but parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. And as I listen to the steps that you share with me. I mean, to be given the honor, the privilege to birth a whole human being to take care of, to love. Mm. I mean, because what you're saying is really to parent compassionately.
Yes.
Parents have to do their own inner work. They've got to get in touch with compassion within themselves. They've got to let go of their own story, and they've got to let go of comparing what their parents did or didn't do. So, and I like how the first one is choose to see yourself as a great parent and your children as talented human beings. It's a choice.
Well,
I'm not a good parent. I have, you know, I had issues from growing up. I was abused. No. Choose to see yourself as a great parent. I mean, we can just stop right there, you know. Start right there. And when you talk about the our children and how we can support them. One of the things that came to me, I'm just going to read two paragraphs. I'm sure you noticed the Khalil Gibran's poem on children. I just want to read two paragraphs of that, if you don't mind.
Oh, please,
your
do.
Children,
I love hearing it.
Your children and not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you.
There you go.
And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. Mm-hmm. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you.
Mm. All right, now.
For life goes not backward, nor tarried with yesterday. I'm going to just stop there. There's more. But, you know.
I love it. I've read that before I had children. And that was my mantra. That was my foundation and my love. There are so many verses from the Quran, from the Bible, from the Gospel, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita, that all resonate to just that. That these are beautiful beings that have come through you, not from you, and that they are here for you to nurture and to protect and to guide as they grow into their maturity. As you were reading, I had thought, one more thought that went to together with the, you know, what did you learn at school today? When we had helped the children to identify what their special geniuses and their talents are, and then support that, they changed the sentence to, or question to, what did you learn today that supports your special talents and genius? And then they'll go off to school every day saying, okay, what am I going to learn that's going to support who I am in the body? They think they're teaching to a test. They don't know they're teaching to me. And there's something that I'm going to get that I need for the life I'm going to be living. And so to have so that helps parents to have a passion for being a parent. Parenting is not a passive experience. If you think that all your children have to do is just show up and go get something to eat and go to bed and wash up and that's it, no. That's just some basic necessities that has to happen because it's a very active opportunity to share your knowledge with your children, your knowledge and your love, because it's the love that they're looking for. I see movies and hear parents and have counseling sessions over and over again. My mother doesn't love me. My father doesn't love me. You know, I get all these things from them, but they don't give me them. They don't give me their heart. They don't give me their time. And so the children, there's one child who will not do her homework with us because that's the only time her mother will sit down with her and give her personal attention. And so therefore, and then she tries not to do her homework for a long time so the mother can stay with her longer. And all the mother does is yell and scream at her. So I said, okay, now that we've identified what the problem is, you know, we'll do a lot of the grunt work and the homework here, but I'm going to leave something for you and her. And so therefore, so that she can have that personal time, I said, but I believe a better time for you and your child is for you to read to her as she goes off to sleep at night and give her a big hug and tell her how much you love her. That's it, because when you read, and I'll only ask for 15 minutes of your day to read to your child as you tuck them in, tell them how much you love them, and kiss their brow so they can go off to sleep. What could be better? What could be better? Children will learn to read that way.
Indeed.
They'll learn to feel comforted that way. You know, so when you have a passion for the value of who your child is, and that you're reading them stories of interest that go along with their genius or around their genius to help them be more round out, around balanced individual, then that you show how much value you have in them and encourage them to be authentic who they are, not who you want them to be. Because if they feel that you only want them to be like you, then they feel that you don't love them. You only love yourself. And then they can never be you, and therefore they feel guilty that they can never live up to be who you are. And they can't. And you should not ask. That's just plain cool. Because you're asking them to live in your past. You're asking them to live your past life, your past mistakes, your past stereotypes. That's where racism comes from. Because parents want their children to live their past behavior, their past values, their past perceptions and thoughts, and most of those are no longer valid. Their point of view was given to them from a wrong set of facts that weren't facts; they were lies. And so, therefore, the children start seeing the truth. So they must be, so we have to free our children to be creative and develop their new ideas, you know, for their, for our creative future. Otherwise, we'd still be using outhouses. Good grief.
That's right. You know? Thank God we just got a storage now. We've evolved to have storage. That's
yes, everybody, you know, I know. Everybody says, you know, practice is perfect. It is not. Perfect changes. And thank God perfect changes. Practice makes permanent, though, those thoughts like love, care, compassion, truth, simplicity, and love. All those can become permanent, but they become permanent by practicing. And so and practicing to let our children be our best teachers. I remember my children used to say, Mommy, you're mean. I said, I'm firm. Mommy, you're mean. I'm firm. Mommy, you're mean. I'm firm. Mommy, you're, what am I? And they'll say, firm, thank you.
Let's get that straight. Let's lay the foundation.
That's right. But the other thing is that, you know, I say to parents, do you listen to your children? They say, but they won't listen to me. I say, okay, I'm going to ask that again. Do you listen to your children? They say, but they won't listen to me. I say, I'm going to ask one more time. Do you listen to your children? And they respond one more time. My children won't listen to me. I said, see, there's the problem. You won't listen to your children. You only want them to listen to you, and your children have something to teach you. When they're getting on your nerves, there's something you need to learn. When they're getting on our nerves, there's some teachable moment waiting for us in that child. And so, therefore, when they tell me that, you know, that I'm unfair and that's not right, I says, well, then you need to teach me better. How can I support you better with what I know for your life? And do you know they'll tell you? That's the reason I'm a great teacher now. And in my after-school programs and my summer camp programs and all the retreats and things I do, because I allow the children to tell me how to do it better and how they could hear me better.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down. And then as soon as I start instituting what they told me, they're like, wow, I'm a good teacher. She listened. I really made a difference in our lives.
Yeah.
Everybody has to win.
Indeed. Indeed. I always say listening is an act of love, you know, so to give to give somebody your presence, your time, your just beingness, to listen to them. Part of the disagreements we have in life is about we don't feel heard. You know, sometimes I'm sure that people that are listening can relate to a time when they had a disagreement and when things get so bad and suddenly they decide to listen and they realize they're actually talking about the same thing. It's like, oh, that's what you mean? Oh, I didn't know. Like, that's what we've been fussing about. I don't know. I've been trying to tell you, you won't listen. Tell me I don't listen, then another argument starts.
That's right.
But, you know, listening is an act of love. And yeah. I'm listening to guidance, and because you have, you know, the 10 compassionate ways to guide your children. I'm so clear. If we do, good, but I don't even think we're going to cover it all. So if listeners are interested, I guess we can put the, maybe they can email you or we can put it on our fan page for listeners to have access to it, whatever.
Yes, please do.
Yes, that's what we'll do.
And just, you know, give me credit and copyright from the book.
Indeed.
And this particular would be from the 13 Golden Keys to Learning.
Okay, got
okay.
it. Got
and
it.
They would find it more there.
Right, because you're sharing so much, and I don't want to rush the conversation. You know, number two is have a passion for being a parent, and you share it. You've talked about that, but I just want us to be able to get the best out of this conversation. The next question, before I ask you the next question, I want to just remind listeners, my guest is Muti Emily Diane Gunter. She is a facilitator. She's an author. She's a lover of life, just a compassionate grandmother, somebody you just want to sit next to at a fireplace, and boy, she will activate the truth within you. If you don't hear that now, you need to go clean out your ears or open up something or listen and stop Facebooking and sharing stuff on Facebook and focus, pay attention. Okay, I'm busting some people now. Some questions, number 347-426. 347-426-3346. And I want to thank all of you that are listening. Colby, Tam Tam, Tanya. Who do we have in the chat room? We have Elevate the Soul. Emilio, my brother, how are you doing? Tracy, Cheryl. Nice to see all of you. Silent listeners, disguised as guests, we appreciate you. And those of you listening on the archive, we're not leaving you out. Thank you for being here. Because here is right now, and you're listening. You're part of this energy. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. We really appreciate you. If you have any questions for Muti Emily, well, I got to do slow down, and I get it. Muti Emily, I call her Elder Emily. Muti Emily, 347-426-3346. See, when I say Elder Emily, I feel like you're mine. I feel like that's my Elder Emily. So yeah, I want to own. Now let's talk about the next one. The next one is be a possibility thinker. What does that mean?
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, when you're a possibility thinker, you're an inspired thinker. My son Amin, who's now a wonderful web designer for NBC, and he used to take everything apart when he was little and then put it back together differently. And so instead of me being upset that he broke my TV and fixed it with the radio parts back again, I would say, my goodness, you're such a genius. How did you do that? But I'll tell you what, let me get you some old stuff that you can just repair and fix up the way you want, okay? Just leave my new stuff alone. And he would take his toys apart and put them back together all differently and mix it up, but they would still work. So I said, what is this child going to do when he grows up? I know this is a key. So instead of him getting in trouble, I got him more stuff to take apart. And so he had a big old box of old telephones and radios and TVs and stuff in a box in my closet, and he'd pull it out, and he would get all that stuff to working. So at first I thought he wanted to be a neurosurgeon, because he said the brain is like that. Then he decided he was going to go to the brain of a computer. So he was flipping back and forth. But being inspired and creating a positive environment for your children to explore who they are in their mind. So when they get in trouble, look and see what did they really do? What genius were they exhibiting? Was it math? Was it building and being kinesthetic so they could work with their hands? Did it have something to do with creating poetry or rap or music? Or was it drawing or cutting things up into shapes that was just like nothing you had ever seen before? Or was it because, you know, they were just the way they had their friends and they were communicating so? And I mean, you have these eight geniuses, and all children have all eight. They may have 100% of some and 5% of some, but they have all eight. And that's interpersonal, that they love people, they love to talk. So you know, if you got a talker, make sure they're talking to you and you help them to say those things that would help when they're mentoring, talking to others, so that they become your mentor through you. Mm-hmm. And are they intrapersonal, where they really want to be alone? But when they come out and say something, I guarantee you, write it down, because it's always profound, because they're self-smart. And then the third one is the mathematics and logic. You know, they love to be on computers, and the way they're hooking things up and putting things together, that's their mathematical, logical genius. You know, keep looking for the genius. And then there's visual artist, and they have to match every day. If they have to match from head to toe, allow that. Give them the opportunity on how they can do that with what they have, because they have to match, because they're an artist. And when they clean the room, because it's art and visuals the same, they have to take everything out of the room and put it back in again, because they will rearrange their own stuff, their own space, a million ways. See, they only got three things. How do they keep changing this up? Realize that they're exhibiting their genius. You have other children who have to flip and play and crawl all over and climb all over and do everything with their body that's physically possible. That's because they are body smart, kinesthetic. And then you have those who are music smart. They're always singing, always tapping, always rhythmically doing something, whether there's music or not, because it's in their head. Know that they have musical genius. Surround them. Create a positive environment for your child in their room and around the house so they can exhibit what these geniuses are. every day, all day, they'll stay out of trouble. Because the thing is, if your child is any of this, and you have these geniuses in their class, in their bedroom, and you say, "Listen, I need you to go straight into your bedroom," they're gonna go in there, go straight to where their genius is. So if it's reading and they love to read or write, they'll go in there and start writing and reading. Don't get upset with them because they didn't clean the room that they were reading and writing, because you sent them to the room to their genius, and make sure they leave their door open. And so that you can go by and say, "Oh, I see you got into your genius, so that's fine. Just enjoy. Make sure you clean up your room before you go to bed and keep on going." And then you have those who are nature smart. They got to get outside. They got to climb in the trees. They got to walk on the grass or the sand with their bare feet. They don't want to keep their shoes on when they're in nature. They want to collect every bug, or they play with the puppies or whatever. Let them enjoy who they are in the body by creating a positive environment at your house. And to have relaxing music playing. As soon as you get up in the morning, put on your relaxing music. Because when my children I called it the war music, that kind that was beating your heart to death, like boom, boom, boom. I said, you're slaying me. My heart. And they was like, "Mom, you're being dramatic." I am not. Turn that off. It's hurting my heart. And so then, as soon as they turned the music off, you would hear my music playing. And then after they go to sleep, I would crack their doors and let my music seep into their room, I would spray lavender scents on their pillows and in their bedclothes. So when they turned over or moved around in their beds, they would smell this beautiful lavender that brings all of your nervous system together in peace. And I had beautiful plants in the house so that we always had good oxygen to breathe. And I would have safe candles that were encased in glass that would be burning and cleansing the energy of the house at all times. And whenever all of a sudden the boys wanted to fight or the girls wanted to beat up on the boys, I have four children. I'd tell them, "Okay, everybody freeze, relax. Take a deep breath. Put your hands on your heart." And it's called Bati Obati, which means I need you to be present. That's Swahili. And when they would answer back Bati and put their hands on their heart, boys would put their left hand first, girls would put their right hand first, and then they take the other hand and put it on top and rub their thumbs, because your brain is in your thumbs. They would put their hands on the heart and breathe and rub their thumb. All of a sudden, they were back. And then I say, "Now, what were you fighting about?" "Wasn't worth it." And off they go. And so therefore, that's how discipline went in my house. Either you got to breathe quickly or breathe and then go do your whatever your genius was. When my young daughter, Shadi, got in trouble, I would say, "Shadi, the dogs need help. Their space needs to be washed off, and they need to be washed. So could you take this energy that you got doing this and go and help your dogs?" Because she had two. And off she'd go, like her brain would just switch into genius. And so therefore, I chose to always have teachable moments instead of punishable moments.
You know, I want to do something here, because I'm kind of hearing, I hear people in my head, I hear voices. And that's why I stay so grounded.
Yes.
I acknowledge all the voices. I don't deny them. So I hear a voice, a mother or father say, "That's all well and good, but you don't know my children." Well,
yes,
that's all well and good. That's just for children. I have teenagers who won't even talk to me. You know, I feel like choose to see myself as a great parent. I feel like I failed. My teenager won't talk to me. Music loud. We can't even communicate. Don't look me in the eye. How do I blend this, the steps that you're sharing with us? Because I think I've lost the plot.
Well, the first thing I say to kids who won't look at me, I say, "Look at my nose and you will feel safe. Because I'm going to look at your nose and I will not look down into the portals of your soul. I'll only look at your nose." And so then I say, "Can you tell that I'm only looking at your nose?" And they'll look at me and they're like, "No." I said, "Now look at my nose." I said, "And look like you're looking at me." I said, "Are you looking at my nose?" They say, "Yeah." I said, "Good." I said, "Now we can have a conversation." And it's an amazing way to switch them, because they're going to check for a minute anyway. And when they are looking at your nose and they say, "Does it look like I'm?" I said, "You look like you're looking directly at me," which shows me that you're giving me the respect. but you're not giving me all your energy because you don't have to, because you need your energy for you. Mm-hmm. Now, I love you, but we're going to talk about that behavior because the behavior got to change. Mm-hmm. And so then I put them to, you know, who are you? Anyway, what do you want to do with your life? And you ask matter-of-factly, not as a parent, or where are you going to go to college, or where do you want to go to, you know, and all that, you know, when you get, you know, sort of like get that, the old school firm, that look. You got to take, you got to let all that go. You got to show your love. You got to show your love and you got to hug them. And so usually I say, after we get that eye thing going on, I say, now give me a hug because I love you, heart to heart. Because when you put, when you hug someone, your heart literally touches their heart.
Yes.
So heart to heart. And so the parents said, and then I said, now, I want to support you in what your genius are. When it comes to your genius and your special talents, money is no object. I don't care how poor I am. Money is, I'll find the money. But if you're doing some other nonsense, you get nothing. And what I'll do is I'll pay for these expensive sneakers you want. I'll give you $60 for your sneakers, and you earn the rest. And then we'll go together and get some sneakers. I think you look good in them. That's a whole different thing of, no, you're not going to get no sneakers. I ain't got no money. What do you think this is? Money goes on trees and all the, oh, I mean, I was there at one point, but my children taught me how to be compassionate to them and how to listen to them. And they would come up with, oh, the best solutions. And whenever they got in trouble, I said, okay, you're the parent. I'm the kid that just got in trouble. What would you do to me if I took the car without permission, stole the key, took the car, and didn't come back until 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting there waiting for you? You were sitting there waiting for me. What would you say to me? And what would my discipline be? Because y'all know I don't believe in punishment, beating y'all, because beating you don't do nothing but harden your heart and make you my enemy. And we're not enemies. I'm your mom. I love you. Mm. I love you with every fiber of my being. But this behavior, I don't love at all. So we got to change that. And when you're a matter of fact, and you're not emotional, you're not that yelling, screaming, tantrum, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. They're saying, what you're saying when you say that is that, I don't know how to be a parent. I don't love you enough to be patient to help you to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Our body, our eyes, our heart, our hands, our words speak volumes when you speak through your heart. And you stay calm. Mm-hmm. And when you lower your voice and you're speaking calm, they're like, I'm really in trouble now. Because they know when you're all crazy and yelling and screaming that you're out of control. So they can do anything and they can just push your buttons all during the conversation.
Indeed, indeed.
But when you stay calm and you're not upset, but you're mindful with your wisdom, they know they're in trouble now.
I always say children are like fruits and parents are the tree. So if the fruit is rotten, then maybe the problem is not the fruit. Maybe we need to look at the tree and see what do we need to do. Maybe the tree needs some fertilizer. Maybe the tree needs some support. Maybe the tree needs some pruning. Now, there's a comment that is, a listener is sharing. It's actually funny. But I want us to address that. I'm going to read it to you, but we'll address it when we come back from the break. We're going to take a break just less for a moment. And the comment is, well, I got to put a little bit of myself in a minute. And so Vicky Lady said, a friend of mine is in a new relationship with a man who has teens, and they're terrible. Spoiled, disrespectful, spoiled, rotten.
I want to see what they get away with.
Or deny the problem. She said, oh my God, I would have bitten their asses and never stood for that type of behavior. I show them. Now, don't answer that yet. I want you to address that when we come back. But now, because the listener, Vicky Lady, is talking about her friend, my question that I want to put to you, Vicky Lady, is you're talking about your friend. Is this what your friend told you? Are you seeing it from this perspective because she's your friend? And I just want to leave that out of the ethers. But when we come back, Moochie Emily, we address that. And all the other, we got some more tips to share with you. We're talking about compassionate parenting. And we can do it. We just got to be willing to change. It's not easy sometimes, but we must make a choice to be better, to be more. Moochie Emily's website address, once again, is rites of passage online.com. org. Check it out. And we're going to post the 10 compassionate ways to guide your children on the fan pages, the Life Conversations Radio fan page and the Ask Life Coach at a fan page. We're going to take a break, quick break, commercial break, and then Celestial Moment, and we'll continue the conversation. We are taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. So we'll be right back. And right now, I'm going to choose to be a wonderful user of this tool called laptop. I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you. You're the best laptop ever. You do just what I need you to do at your own time, and it works for me. So you ready now? You sure you're ready? Okay, let's see what happens.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I love my laptop.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pookie bear.
Your lammy lumpkin.
Your bubby chubs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to fourparents.gov,
you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom.
Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We We are one. There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Thank you, Carly Jackson, for that code of conduct, that truth, that reminder. So when we say that child is a mess, we're talking about ourselves. Vicky Lady, come close. Let me give you a hug because I'm about to drop something. When you say that's born rotten, I whoop their asses, you're talking about yourself. Ouch! Did that hurt? It is not supposed to. It's just true. The truth has a way of doing that, too. Truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. That's right. And all of us, you know, the whole thing about oneness, we talk about it, but, you know, what you give to your children, you give to yourself. Today we're talking about compassionate parenting. The theme for the month is release your inner splendor. So we want to support you in supporting your children to release their inner splendor as you release yours. Yes, parenting ain't no joke. And we've got to address after the celestial moment. And I think we'll focus a little bit more about the, I don't know, maybe television has just corrupted my mind, our minds, that parents have struggled with their children. But we'll talk more about that, how we can find peace in the midst of, create peace from the chaos. Celeste.
Yes.
Morgan, how are you doing?
I feel like Mooty Emily and you right now are energetic lavender for all of us.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm feeling so compassionate and loving at work. Feels great. This show is very healing, people, you know, whether you have children or not, because I believe that all of us are parents in some way. So, but I want to let Mooty know that she said three words that show up in the celestial moment today, and I wrote it before she spoke. So this is, she's just a beautiful, loving, light, childlike joy, showing all of that. Those are the words she used, and they show up here. So when we have that type of synchronicity, I know I just need to get to it and keep continuing to wish you all love. Now, remember, lavender also begins with L. Hold that. I'm going to get right to it. Hello, family. It's Celeste here again, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. The energy of the day is 12, which reduces down to 3. And today, the man who told the whole world he needs love is celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, LL Cool J. Remember, the energy of the day is also your lesson number for the whole year. Now let's see what this 12 energy has in store. We have 12 astrological signs in Western culture. The 12th astrological sign is Pisces, and it reminds of the gift of sacrifice when we surrender to our higher selves to serve all of humanity. 12 also shows up as the Hanged One
in tarot, and this man hangs upside down to get a fresh perspective and let go of his ego to allow for spirit to enter his being. The 12th letter of the alphabet is L, and words like loving, laughter, and light connect us to the divine power of 12. Now, 12 also shows up as the porcupine in medicine cards, and that's where we're going to put the focus today. Porcupine, remind me of innocence again. With every man a brother, each woman a friend. You can create heaven on earth when you tap into porcupine medicine. The porcupine has the gifts of innocence and childlike joy. Through this powerful magic, we create opportunities for ourselves and others to show up fully in the space of love. Children are not busy meeting demands and running to and fro unless we are forcing them to live like adults. They hold the key to enchantment, for they remember how to be themselves. What would it be like to live life as if it were like finding a prize? Remember the toy in a cereal box or the prize in a Cracker Jack box? Children, just like the porcupine, remind us to stay alert for the treats in life. They offer us balance in this wonderful world of adulthood, for they know about faith and trust when left to grow as they are. The power of faith contains within it the ability to move mountains. The power of trust in life involves trusting that the Great Spirit has a divine plan. When we allow this reality into our lives, the doors to heaven open up, for we have learned that the little ones are truly our masters. Remember, the scriptures tell us that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's allow them to lead the way to our open hearts. And that's the story of 12, told through our friend the porcupine and medicine cards. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste Morgan. Appreciate you. Thank you for reminding us to become like little children. We know it, but sometimes we forget it. And we have Mutti Emily in the house. Thank you, Celeste. Yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Mutti Emily Diane Gunter. Her website address is RitesOfPassageOnline.org. We're talking about compassionate parenting and sharing some steps, some ways for you to parent compassionately to help you, to support you. And we had a comment in the chat room before the break, and we want to talk about that. And I may even want to shift the conversation a little bit, and let's become like a parent surgeon. Well, I'll let Mutti Emily do that, because there's so many things that we see where parents are struggling to raise children. The relationship has broke down, especially the teenagers, even ones that are not teenagers. And I was thinking, and we're going to go back to that. During the break, I was thinking food, the diet has to be one of the things that we add to the ways to compassionately parent our children, because the food we're feeding them. But we can come back to that. Let's go to this comment that was shared in the chat room earlier by Vicky Lady, who's still listening. So, Vicky Lady, we've got something for you that you can give to your friend and to yourself and to the father of the children and maybe even the teenagers. Before the break, we read what Vicky Lady shared. She said, a friend of mine is in a near relationship with a man who has teens, and they are terrible. Sullied. What's that? Spoiled. Okay, spoiled, disrespectful, and spoiled rotten. Their dad seems to ignore or deny that problem. I'm putting my little spice to it. Oh, my God. I would have bitten their asses and never stood for that kind of behavior in my house. Woo, that's one way to end the relationship. But anyway, Mutti, I'm just letting you see. I want Vicky Lady to keep coming back, so I'm going to be nice. I understand, girl. You better preach. Mutti Emily, what do you say about that?
Well, I tell you, all children are our children. And to think that these children don't belong to that person is the first rub. If you don't like the children, your children definitely won't like you. And if you don't think you can teach the children, they will not learn from you. And this is a message I give to all the teachers as well. when it comes to their mentoring and working, you know, with children. And so attitude is everything. And then your attitude becomes a child's attitude. Now, there's sometimes the children have their own attitude all by themselves, and it's okay. They, as long as you are consistent, kind, compassionate, and firm, and honest, they will come around. You can't force them to make that switch real fast. You can't do it. You can't make a child love you. All you can do is love a child and enjoy their love as they are, as they move through their own process, you see. Mm-hmm. So it is important, and I pray that they have the opportunity, you know, for her to really get to know who the children are. Mm-hmm. You can't just judge them by what you see. They're going to show out, absolutely yes. They're going to show out, and because they want to see what you're made out of, first of all, and you're not my mama, you know, and you don't love me, so why should I listen to you?
The listener who made the comment, she is a friend of somebody else who's having that experience.
I understand.
Ask the friend, mm-hmm. where can she stand? What vision can she hold to support her friend's new boyfriend or whatever they call themselves, mm-hmm. and the children? Mm-hmm. Where can she be to be able to support the healing, to be part of the healing that's being called for?
That's right. Well, first of all, she needs to be centered in herself without judgment. You judge a child, they judge you back even more. Because right now there's a whole lot of judgment, anger, rage, upset, being hurled, a psychic attack on the children. They feel when they're being attacked. And that's an attack. And so consequently, it is important where she needs to be is to support him in loving his kids, not yelling at him because they're not accepting her. They don't have to accept her yet. Mm. Respect is earned. Respect is shared. Right. Respect is modeled. So right now we got some teachable moments to go hard on. And basically she can look for opportunities where she can jump in and be the friend. Not the new parent. Not the the replacement. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. because she's not a replacement. Now, she can be a help.
Right.
She can be a help. But that's about it. You know,
and that's the mm-hmm. thing. I mean, I think we got to, you know, because ultimately every parent, every adult knows exactly what to do. But we get caught up. It's almost like we're given the ingredients or the recipe to cook a food. And we know, I mean, some people say I can't cook. I don't quite understand it. But anyway, that's a whole different conversation. What do you mean you can't cook? But anyway, but if you have the instructions of what to do, sometimes we get in the kitchen and we put all the recipes together and the food still doesn't come out because maybe we feel we're not a good cook or we feel we can't cook. That affects or influences how what we make come out. Now, So when we're talking about this compassionate parenting and the guide, the information you're sharing, I think we fail to look at ourselves. And when you talk about not being a replacement, I don't know these young people that are rebelling or spoiled rotten, according to the listener who is the friend, but they may be rebelling because they are seeing this woman that, who are you trying to replace our mother? Or whatever the case may be. And I think sometimes we forget
and
to
honor. And who are you
honor.
To judge me? Right.
That's right. You don't know our story. They're probably still in pain about the mother not being around. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be. But sometimes we spend too much time focusing on our pain and not paying attention to what's going on inside the children. We say, yeah, I'm the adult. They're supposed to listen to me. And it's a moment-to-moment thing, but as you said earlier, Muti Emily, it's this idea of bringing ourselves back to the moment, bringing ourselves back to what can I do? How can I be supported? How can I be a friend? Because it's not easy. People are having blended family nowadays, different values. So much we're watching television and they're giving us different information on how to raise children and people are overwhelmed. What do you say to parents who are saying, I really want to practice this. Sometimes I'm just too tired. I don't have enough time for a hug. I just got enough time to cook the dinner and get ready for work tomorrow and make their lunches. All these things you're talking about, it sounds good, but I just don't have time to practice it.
Well, the thing is, see, you, and basically when people say, I don't have time, you have nothing but the time to do that. Because if you don't take that time, 5 minutes to love, 5 minutes to just breathe and come present and say, you know, I'm looking forward to being and a help to you, not to be your mother. Don't even say friend. I'm looking forward to being an assistant and a help to you in any way I can. What do you want to do when you grow up? Do you need any help in school? I'm very good at math and I'm very good in English and I love to read. And, you know, you get all excited about who you are and which child, how you can help that child. And they say, no, thank you. I said, okay, just keep it in mind. And then watch them, have them see you reading, have you see you doing those things that you love to do, to be consistent, loving, kind, respectful, firm, and not loud, and not insistent. Tell them once and let it go. And then if they disrespect you, say, I find that very disrespectful. I appreciate it if you wouldn't do that. It makes me feel bad. And the thing is, that kind of honesty works.
Yes. Yes. So true. It's you embracing what is saying was true for you. And mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes we talk about, I mean, this is a general thing, and you know, we all have our way of being with children, with our family members and our teenagers and our grown children. But I wonder if, as human beings, we don't always see the value, the love that our children, that they share with us and who they are. And this is what I mean. If someone is driving a car and they start hearing some funny noise in their car and it's getting louder every day and louder, I don't think they're going to say, I don't have time to go take this car to the mechanic. I got to take my car because it's making this loud noise and I don't want it to break down. But when it comes to our children, they start making the noise louder and louder and louder, and suddenly we're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't have time for that foolishness. She just wants to do this. I don't know. I don't know where the disconnect, what happens. Maybe we think we're cars and it's easier to fix because they're, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it is. We're cars, it's easier to fix. We don't have to change. What's your thought on that?
Well, basically, when you say you don't have time for this, you say, I don't have time to love you. I don't have time to listen to you, communicate with you, and see where you're challenged. We don't have problem children. We have children with problems or challenges. And basically, it's up to us to breathe and relax and have the patience. Have the patience for them to listen and to come around. You just keep saying that I care for you. I care for your dad. I care for you. I care for us as a unit. And if she can say family, but if not, I care for us as a community of people who've come together to help each other to go to a next level. How can I help you? How can I help you? And if there's something that you need them to help you with, you say, can you do this for me? If they say no, keep on moving. Keep on moving. Because the thing is, there's three things I always tell parents to stop and reflect before they say something to a child, especially if it's not your child and it's a someone who's a stepchild, okay, or a cousin or a nephew or a niece. Is what you're about to say, is it true? You heard a rumor. Do you know if it's true or not? If you don't know if it's true or not, then do your homework before you say something to the child. Or ask them, is there anything I need to know about what happened today? You know, are you okay? You seem to be a bit upset. Would you like a hug? But don't accuse them of nothing until you know it's the truth. Second, is it necessary that you speak at this time? If they're all upset and behind the wall, they can't hear you. Going
music
to put
loud.
On your soft, yeah. Going to put on your soft music and quietly spray lavender around the house. Open the windows, let new energy in. Prayer works. Pray for that child. Bless them. See yourself in a beautiful pink bubble of love of God and put them in one. See them in a beautiful bubble. Just send them love, because whatever you send out goes into your own liver and your own body and damages you. So if you send out, you know, all that conversation about how bad they are and how loud they are and how disrespectful and all, then all that you eat, all that becomes part of your body. because you own it, just like your arm. And the third one is it kind? If you get ready to open your mouth and you know that you're about to be as disrespectful, as unkind, as loud, as out of control as the child, you got to keep your mouth shut all day long. And the thing is, I've told the kids that I work in after school, and sometimes they get rowdy, especially if they had sugar or candy at school all day. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I need a timeout. And they look like, huh? She's not giving us a timeout. She's taking time. They got to stop and think.
Right, I'm always
saying stuff that make them stop and take it. I said, so everybody take a deep breath with me. I need to calm down because this behavior has to go. Now I switched it back, and they're like, huh? Oh, ooh, yeah, huh? Put your hands on your heart, rub your thumbs, take a deep breath, go to your genius, please. I know how great all of you are, and this does not show, this behavior doesn't show your greatness. Because I'm always working with somebody else's children, and the parents are so young that they're like, the children are like my after school and my summer camp programs are like my grandchildren. Their parents are my children. And their grandparents are my peers who I teach to be anchors. And the parents have to be the coaches because the kids with all this energy, they're the drivers of change. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are the drivers of change for our future. And they need all that energy. So if we shut it down with Ritalin or Prozac or all that stuff that they're giving our kids now to control their behavior, we have cut off their genius from us. We've cut off their ability at this point with those drugs for them to be creative and start creating an environment around them in their own. See, first you have to create the environment inside of your body.
Yes.
And then it reflects outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I open up new centers and the kids are all over the place and the parents are all over the place, I said, okay, calm down, Emily. That's you. That's you. You are not settled with how the center is starting out. And so you got to get calm and take the steps of kindness and compassion for each child, each parent, each of my employees as we move through the process to create this beautiful, positive environment for our kids. Mm-hmm. So if this lady who of the friend of whoever are they're moving in together, her job. Not because anybody asked her to, because she wants to, because she is her job is to create a beautiful, positive environment for her and her significant other and the children.
Right.
I'm telling you, you cook a chicken pot pie and put some biscuits and honey on the table and some good old iced tea, or cook some fried fish with lemon all on it. And a great salad with some collard greens and some cornbread, and say, you know, dinner's ready.
Mm.
Not you were so disrespectful you can't eat. No, dinner's
right.
ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, can you help me with the dishes? No, I got homework. That's okay, I got it. You know, so it's very important that we have. Our focus on who we are in the body and how and ask, how can we love today?
How can
we love them better today? And if you don't ask that and then go in and answer that for yourself, well, then, yeah, you are failing because you're failing yourself. But when you don't fail yourself and you love yourself, you get to love everyone.
And so it is. And I got to ask you this. You've talked about food briefly because I was thinking diet, the thing with feeding them. And there's so much information about that. So, you know, listeners, if you want to find out more, you know, because we got to release Elder Emily, Mooty Emily. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you this because I really want to hear from an elder's perspective. Tomorrow we have a show, Fatherless Like Me. And it's a woman and her daughter wrote a book called Fatherless Like Me. So the father's not around. And there are a lot of children who are growing up in single family homes, single mother, single father. And, you know, society and psychologists and therapists tell us, you know, that affects somebody as they grow up. What advice would you give to parents who are raising the children by themselves, who feel like if the father was around, the children would turn out something better. If the mother was around, you know, they won't be going through all this hell. What advice would you want to leave? Because really something that speaks to
helping people not parent from a place of guilt is really what I'm trying to get to.
That's right. Because you're parenting from a place of guilt. Well, the kids will push every button you got. Mm-hmm. And nobody will win. And so when you're raising children by yourself, you got to let go of the anger. You got to release it. You got to forgive the person you think did so much to you. I realized after my divorce that I allowed every single thing to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
That I allowed it. Now, if somebody told me back then, I'd have punched them. But I allowed all of that because the oppressed and the oppressor are partners in a system. And when I read that in As Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He by James Allen, I was like, well, if we partners, well, then the partnership is over. And that's when my pain stopped, started stopping. But it was a process of me getting beyond that. I had to allow the forgiveness. And I told the children, I got to forgive myself, and I let them know my responsibility, and I've got to forgive your dad because I allowed that. And I let him get away with it for so long, he didn't know he was doing something so terrible. So when I finally woke up, you know, he's like, well, what's wrong with her? you know?
What's our problem?
That's right. Anyway, so I am... it's going to be important that when you're raising children by yourself, that know that you're not alone. Bring in the community. My sons, when they started acting out, when they became new teens, I called every man I knew, my brothers, my brother-in-laws, my uncles, my cousins, the mechanic at my car shop, the football coach, any man who knew, my doctors, any man I knew, I had talking to my sons. I said, come by, come to dinner, do whatever, but I need to talk to my child. You know, he's got choices to make, and right now his rage is stopping him from seeing his choices. Please, you know. And I'm going to, and my baby brother, Daryl, he basically was their, like their mentor father for, matter of fact, even all the way to today. And they're grown men. You know, he really was right there for whatever I needed. I raised my brother, and then he helped me raise my sons after the divorce. So there is community. It takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
All children are our children, and we're to love all children. I don't care if you have none or not. A child's in the supermarket, and they're acting out. I'll clear my throat. They'll look around, and I just give them a nod. That's all I have to do, give them a nod, but with a gentle face, not a firm face, you know, not a mean face, but a firm face. I give them a nod, and that's the end of that. Yeah. And people say, how'd she do that? No, all I do is just send them some love. And then when they turn around and they look back to see if I'm still looking, I smile. Like I got
yeah,
my eye
still
on
here.
I ain't going
I'm
away.
Still watching. I knew you were going
that's
to look
right,
back.
That's right. It's time to hear the children laugh again. It is. And yes. How will they laugh again is when they know we love them unconditionally just the way they are. And all of their power and magnificence as they are inspired by their purpose and their genius. Not ours, by their purpose and their genius in the loving light of God. And when they know and feel that from us as elders, and we hold that as the anchors of the community, and the children and the parents start using that thought to coach them. Children are going to be all right to drive us into the next new into the year 3000. That's why my book is Super Learning 3000. Because you know this book is so is eternal knowledge that I didn't write that book. It came through me. You know the Kabbayan out of Egypt. When the children presented that to me in Egypt and said, did you read this book so you could write that book? I said, no. They were blown away, and I was too. And I realized that, oh, no, I didn't write this. This came through me just to give it to the world again. So I'm really blessed to be with you, and I'm looking forward to coming every time I can.
Oh, you don't worry. It's already done because you have so much. And I want to give you this. My dear friend who's also listening to her name, Sanquineta, said, really needed this message. My son always says, I am mean. I usually just say, no, I am not. She said, I will now be saying I am firm. Great.
Okay.
See, you go, oh, mother saying, I'm not. I'm firm. You mean, no, I'm firm. I'm what? You're firm.
Emily,
thank you. I got my palms together and bowing to you and saying thank you for showing up. Thank you for being the change you want to see. I love you immensely.
Thank you.
Love to your children and the grown children and all the children of the world that you cater to.
Yeah, thank you so much. I am so appreciative. So appreciative of you.
Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes. Vicky Lady, you might want to call in. Because I'm going to address your conversation in the chat room. But, you know, it's like you hear me talk about intellectual spirituality. We know about meditating. We know about being mindful. We know about embracing all that is. But that doesn't mean we're practicing. Let me put it this way. It doesn't mean it means we practice it because we're working through it. The reason you're on this planet is to download heaven on earth. So compassionate parenting means you've got to be compassionate with your own mess, with your own stuff. You've got to be compassionate with yourself when you're driving on a highway and someone signals and you accelerate because you don't want them in front of you. You gotta be compassionate with yourself when you see somebody got maybe three things and you got a cart full at a grocery store, cart full of stuff, and you're saying, well, I'm in a rush. I know they only got three, but I got things to do too. You gotta learn to be compassionate with yourself when you're judging people that you're watching on television, their housewives, and of course my favorite, when you're judging Honey Boo Boo. But if you don't learn to be compassionate with yourself, you can't be compassionate with your children, with the children of the world. Now let's go back to what Vicky Lady says. Vicky Lady, I need you to call in, but I'm gonna just break it down to you the way I see it. Now, the comment you made earlier, for me, has this energy of, in the comments for those who are just listening, you said something, a friend of yours in a new relationship with a man who has teens and they're terrible. They're spoiled, rotten, they're disrespectful, they're blah, blah, blah. You said you would have whooped their asses like one at a time. Bam! Flip out of here. Don't you talk to me like that. I love your father, but not you. I added that to it. Now, Muti Emily shared earlier about cooking dinner and inviting the young kids or teenagers to join you and then having them put the dishes away and they say they don't want to. Vicky Lady said, how are you going to get the kids to do their chores? I can't help but put the energy to it, so I'm going to really, let me get dramatic a little bit because that's what I hear. How are you going to get the kids to do their chores if they just let it go and do it yourself? I mean, come on. This is the other part. It seems that's the problem to begin with. No one is making the kids take responsibility for their surroundings and what they do. Now, here's my thought. Maybe that's the problem, maybe not. But people say you got to pick your battles. There's some times where you say, and I know Elder Emily, Muti Emily wasn't saying all the time when you ask them and they say no, you let it go. No, you've got to customize. You've got to embody this truth and do a dance with the young people, with your children, with your niece, your nephew, and see what works. There's going to be a time when you're going to say, okay, this time it's fine. Go, yeah, it's been a hard day. Because it will be an expression of love. But you can also say, not even but, then the other option is, okay, you don't want to do the dishes? You don't want to do whatever? I'm going to do it tonight, but you're doing it tomorrow night. Is that fair? They might say, I guess. No. I want a yes or no. And this thing about responsibility, we have to be responsible caregivers. Learning to parent from a place, and I'm not just talking to Vicky now, I'm talking to everybody. We got to learn to parent from a place of love, compassion, understanding. Some of us are parenting from a place of what our parents didn't do. So, yes, sometimes problem is because kids are not taught to take responsibility, but you don't enforce that all the time. You got to dance. Think of the relationship. If you're in a relationship with a man or a woman and what you want, what's not fair? What? Oh, you said you didn't say that. Well, I'm okay, so I dramatized the statement. But I added a little bit to it because that's the energy. But if you want to clarify, if you really want us to hear what you want us to hear, what you sound like, 347-426-3346. So we can feel you know where you're coming from. I'm just saying when I read you're coming in the chat room, it comes across like you got your hands on your hips and you're rolling your neck and saying, that's the problem, letting them get away with their responsibility. Yes, that's right. I said it. Life coach Ade Muti Emily answered that. You got to represent what you're saying. 347-426. I got my hands up. Bring it. I can handle it. But really, we say this in jest. There are people who believe that. There are people who stand in that place. But really, parenting is about getting yourself right. Can we just be so? Can we come to a place and saying being open? We had Richard Moss join us last week. Was it last week? Yeah, it was. Yeah, I've only been back 2 weeks. Yeah, that's right. It was on the 8th, right? Isn't that right, Celeste? I'm sure it is on the 8th or whatever date it was last week. And the topic was embracing the awakened couple. Thank you, Celeste. Embracing the awakened couple. And one of the things Richard shared with us is in a relationship, in your romantic relationship, when there is a disagreement, you can have a sacred instrument. It could be anything. It could be a bottle. It could be a pen that you use as a microphone that each one will hold it when they're talking so that we can listen to one another. But while you listen to your partner to hear what she has to say, what he has to say, then there's another aspect of this conflict resolution, if you will. He didn't use it that way. Or when you really want to be part of it, you want to hear what a relationship. One of the questions he said we should ask when we're in a relationship is, what is this relationship? I'm paraphrasing. What does this relationship need? What does this relationship need? So, Vicky lady, since you're asking the question, if there's a breakdown, I don't know if you have children or not, but when you think of your friend and the challenge that she's going through, maybe you want to ask the question, what does the relationship need? The relationship between your friend and her boyfriend's, her partner's relationship, and the relationship between her relationship, we'll call her Jane, because I wanted to be clear. So you, Vicky lady, you ask, what does Jane's relationship with the children need? What does it need? What does it need to heal? Now, that's a different way of listening. Rather than saying, I know what it needs. No, you don't. A shift in consciousness, growing in consciousness is inventing a new way, as Richard was sharing as well. It's like, we got to invent a new way. When there is a problem, we ask, what's the solution? When a car breaks down, you don't go to the mechanic and say, this is the problem and that's the only thing I want you to fix. I know it. I've heard that sound before. That's the brakes. That's the clutch. That's the head gasket. I know it. That's the plug. And it may be something else. Okay, sometimes some of you don't even know all of that stuff. What's a plug? What's a head gasket? So you go to the person who is a so-called expert. He knows he's an expert, and some of them are very compassionate, and they'll tell you exactly what the problem is. They'll tell you what to look forward to that you want to pay attention to. And then some of them are something else. They'll tell you what the problem is, and the other problem is not a problem, but it's a problem because they want to make money. Which one are you? Are you going to be the healer? We are all being called to step up and be so much more. So if we're going to judge the fruit, if we're going to blame the fruit, our fruits, if we're going to blame other people's fruit, then maybe we need to start looking at the trees. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. But when the pain is inviting you to pay attention inward now. Learn to be flexible. I had an experience yesterday.
And where I was, it was very challenging. I won't go too much into details. Very challenging. But there were some young children there. And at the end, before that, even they were coming to me, I was drumming, and one of them came over. And at the end, for me, I made a choice to play with the children, to spin them around, to play what I call buddy percussion, where you're playing drums on your buddy, kind of like this, if you can hear it or not. But, you know, just different parts. I just play with them. I laugh with them. I got on the ground, the floor with them, and just laughed because I knew I needed their love, their silliness. We were making sounds because I needed that to ground me. I knew my thoughts were not good enough to help me. There was so much going on. But if we start looking at our children, that they have something to teach us. And I'm going to read the whole thing about Khalil Gibran, or Gibran. People say Gibran, Gibran. I say Gibran, Gibran. I don't know. Khalil, I'll spell the last name for you. Where is this? Right here. Let's see. Okay, let's do the radio thing. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Call in now, 347-426-3346. That's what we do to buy time. Khalil, K-H-L-I-L, Gibran, G-I-B-R-A-N. Yeah, so here's Vicky Lady. I got you in the ring with me. And if this gets on your nerves, so be it. But if you're loving me, guess what? I love you. And if you're not loving me, I'm pulling you closer. I still love you. So listen to this. I read some of this, but I'm going to read the whole thing now. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life, L-I-F-E, life's longing for itself. You can just stop there. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. For they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bowls from which the children. Let me read that again. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. Being able to see the future. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. See the greatness in your children. See the greatness in the children in the neighborhood. I don't care what you say. I can't stand kids. They get on my nerves. I can't deal with their foolishness. That's just simply telling us you can't deal with your own stuff. That you're full of stuff you can't deal with yourself. I'm talking to everybody. I'm not talking about Vicky Lady, okay? There are people who say that. Kids get on my nerves. You get on your own nerves. You hate yourself so much you can't stand yourself. Okay, I'm going to pull up. Let me pull up. But, you know, there's one other thing. I won't read that. I just kind of leave this out. What is it? I want to give you the right name. So let me do a quick search. Come on now. I love my computer. I just love you so much. You're always ready when I'm ready, even if you forget. There you go. Yeah, that's what it is. Children learn what they live. I'm not going to read it. Google it. Children learn what they live. So if you want to parent from a place of I know exactly what you need, then they grow up to be that. And then when you're old, rusty, and dusty, and you can't go to the bathroom by yourself, and you got some drip where you have to take your food through your stomach, and they'll tell you, I know what you need, because I'm the child now, and you can't even help yourself. Think about it. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. And not only do they condemn the world, they learn to condemn you as the parent, you as the elder, you as the folks in the neighborhood. There's more. Google it. Children learn what they live. It's a responsibility that we all have. Sometimes we may not have the answer, but we can just get still and say, okay, God, I need your help. Sometimes we ask our wives, our husband, I need your help. We ask our friends, our coworkers. And be careful of the coworkers and the friends and whoever they are. Say, girl, please, I'll whoop their ass. Or what you need to do is lock them in their room and take all the toys away. Yeah, that works sometimes. And if you're going to do it from a place of peace if you can. Take the time to be still before you put them in time out. And for goodness sake, please don't take out the pain and the frustration from work out of your children. Because sometimes we can't slap our supervisor in the face. We can't tell them what we really feel about them or our coworkers or our managers, or maybe your job is closing down or you had a hard day or the traffic was horrible. You're so frustrated. You got home late and you're so mad that you have to go to work and suddenly your child says something. What? And you take your frustration out of them. You know, this is not about telling you what to do. This is about giving you your life back. Really. And so it is. And so it is. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're gonna get funky. Well, yeah, we're gonna get funky. We do what we do. Tomorrow we're talking about fatherlessness. There's so many people walking around stuck in the past because the father wasn't around. There's some people who cannot let go of the pain. There's some people who send their father around, they wouldn't end up in jail. They'll have a better relationship. It's because the father's not around. That might be true, but you can heal that right now. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be loved. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. And when I say true to yourself, I'm going to just tell you the truth. You didn't get on my nerves. No. Treat yourself with love. That's what I mean when I say be true to yourself. And allow the love to flow in and out of you. Be loved. I want a holy prayer. So I'm just going to play this song. Let me put this in background. Ah, time flies when you're making love. That's right. You're on this planet to make love with the world. To make love. Now, if you limit that experience to just a sexual experience, so be it. But I'm talking about love. Experience your children experience you and they feel love. Let's make love together. I bless you on your journey. And I'll see you tomorrow. And if you don't come back tomorrow, be here the day after that. And if you don't come back at all, blessed always. The Agape Choir, agapelive.com. God and save. Stop it! Dude! I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.